very familiar passage of scripture, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. We hear it all the time. Acts 2, verse number 38, especially within the Holiness Church. This is that plan of salvation carried out by those that followed Jesus. Acts 2 and 38 says, "And then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, in Acts 2:38, that is the fulfillment of the instructions that were given by Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And then he goes a step further and says you have to be born of both water and spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see, nor can he enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when we're talking about seeing it, it's not just so much as you're not going to know what it is like. Everybody, when you look at the religious world today, they make it up because they've never experienced it. And because they've never experienced it, they can never tell you nothing about it. Well, you can't tell a person about the new birth until you experience it. I think Sister Scudder was asking, we were talking sometime a couple of days ago, and she was asking, she said, you know, sometimes you wonder when people say they're saved, how did you get saved? How did you receive the Holy Ghost? How did you come to know Jesus as the Savior? So when Jesus tells Nicodemus that he has to be, that the two keys are the water and the spirit, he says you cannot see it, nor can you do what? Enter into it. The kingdom of God is the rule of righteousness. What is it like to have righteousness rule you? You can't see that. You don't know what that looks like. You don't know what that feels like. And you definitely can't enter into that position until, you're born of both water and spirit. Now, if you look at Luke, it says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there." Where's that at? Luke chapter number 17, starting at verse number 20. Luke 17 and 20. See, isn't that something? When? Those are the things that people are, they're still looking for that. People are still looking to see what, when is the kingdom of God coming? When they look, when they hear the word kingdom of God, automatically people think about a location. They think of a location, they think of a place. Just like you say, well, we're going to go over to Disney World. So they think Disney World is, that's like the kingdom of God. They're looking for a location. And the Pharisees were asking that. They said when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he says, and he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not. It doesn't come with observation. In other words, you're not going to be able to see a specific location. It's not going to be a geographical location. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Everybody understand that? The kingdom of God is within you. So when he tells Nicodemus that he had to be born of both water and spirit, he said, you cannot see it, nor can you enter what? Into it. You cannot enter into it. The kingdom of God has to be dwelling on the inside of you. If you look at John, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33, that's another one. Matthew 6 33. Yes. That's right. That's right. So if the kingdom of God is within you, that's what the scripture says. The kingdom of God is within you. It doesn't come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. But the kingdom of God is within you. And then in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be what? That's right. So we have to discipline our minds or fix our mind, kind of get that focus and say, well, I want the kingdom of God. That means I want it to come down on the inside of me. I want where Jesus rules to come down on the inside of me. I want it to come down on the inside of me. And if I want it, the writer's telling me I have to seek that what first? I have to reprioritize my mind to say, well, these other things are not that important, or these other things will come. If you go up a couple of verses in Matthew chapter number 6, 6 and maybe around about 29 or 28. Let me get over here. 6 and 28, yeah.
Take ye thought for raiment.
Yeah.
The lilies of the field, how they grow.
Right.
They toil not, neither do they spin.
Right.
And yet I say unto you that even Solomon
in all of his glory was not arrayed. That's truth.
Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field,
yes,
which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven.
That goes back to the concept of time. These things are only temporary. These things that we sit up and waste time worrying about, thinking about, these things are only temporary. Mm-hmm. When Jesus is offering us this salvation, this new birth, it go long beyond this temporary stuff.
Yes.
You said the lilies, the flowers, they're blooming.
Yep.
You're gonna go outside, you look outside our door, you see those little pink flowers. Mm-hmm. They're pretty when they're there, but the reality is they're not gonna be there long. They have a short time to be here on the earth. And it's the same way if that's true about the flowers, that's true about the grass, that's true about us. We have a short time to be here on the earth. And during that time, we need to make sure that we allow the kingdom of God to come inside of us. The rule of righteousness. We want the rule of righteousness to come down on the inside of us. And he's telling you got to seek that first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
When you're talking about being born again, when you're talking about having the Holy Ghost, when you're talking about being born of both water and spirit, that means the rule of righteousness should be on the inside of you. It's not an outward, thing. It's, in other words, I'm not drawn off of the things that are out here. I'm drawn off of what's inside of me. I don't draw off the things on the outside because the things on the outside are temporal. You know, I don't draw off of the lilies of the field to be happy. I don't draw off the lilies of the field to have joy, because these things are only temporary. But I draw off of what it should be inside of me, what should have come inside of me and ruled me. Right. Right. And I told you these things are only temporary. Keep on reading a little bit further.
And it says, I'm sorry. Verse 20, 30.
Yes. Yes.
To the oven.
Yep.
Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little?
That's true. Now that let me know, in order for me to allow righteousness to come on the inside of me, it is essential that I have faith. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Jesus. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that do what? Now, right and untold you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that means I have to be diligent in seeking Jesus to come on the inside of me. It can't be something that I'm doing haphazardly. It has to be a focus. There has to be a desire to achieve that goal. What goal? Jesus coming down on the inside of me. It's not about being at a specific location. Kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. The kingdom of God is within you. When you say you have the Holy Ghost should be in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Something to look forward to in the future. It's not a temporary occurrence. You know, my joy is not temporary. My peace is not temporary. It's not based upon the things that are going on around me. It should be based upon what's in me. Right? That's truth. My joy should be based upon what's in me. My peace should be based upon what's in me. I don't have nothing in me. I don't have nothing to draw off of. I'm constantly fishing and looking for stuff on the outside to satisfy me. When Jesus is telling me, you've got to have the kingdom of God in you. Holy Ghost has got to be in you. Jesus has got to come on the inside. One writer told you, behold, I stand at that door and knock. Any man hear my voice. His voice is his word. And open up the door, meaning you've got to submit your will. You've got to submit your will to the movement of Jesus in your life. In other words, you can't just be satisfied with Jesus moving on you. You have to allow Jesus to come down on the inside. He said, I'll come into you and sup with you. And you with me. That means what the Holy Ghost is. Holy Ghost is a conversation between me and Jesus. It is an opportunity for my soul, my spirit to speak with his spirit, right? That's true. And you don't have no Holy Ghost. You don't have that working down on the inside of you. All you have to do is go based upon what's going on the outside. And that's why, again, people be out there just grabbing for any and every little thing. Because they don't have anything down on the inside of them. When you had the Holy Ghost, you have power, authority over this stuff. But when you don't have no Holy Ghost inside of you, you have nothing to draw off of. That's the truth. You have nothing to draw off of. Keep me reading in Matthew.
And it says here, verse 31, yes. Therefore take no thought, saying,
yes.
What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink?
Yes.
Or wherewith, or shall we be clothed?
That's truth.
But after all these things,
do who?
Do the Gentiles.
See, this is the difference between us and the world, saints. We have to make a distinction between what the world is doing and what we're doing. Because the world seeks after all of this stuff. World is looking for all of this stuff to satisfy them. But we have already proven that this stuff doesn't satisfy you. One writer said, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth the increase. You're not going to be satisfied with this stuff. The only one that can satisfy you is Jesus. And that means Jesus had to come down on the inside of you in order for you to experience true satisfaction, true peace. No, Jesus, you have no satisfaction inside of you. You have nothing to draw off of. And all of your experiences are based upon external stuff. You know, I'm in tune with Jesus as long as the music is going or as long as this one is around. But what about when nobody else is there? What about when you're all by yourself? Where is that power? Where are you able to draw off of joy and peace and love? Where is that power, right? That's the truth. Come on, read me a little bit more. Do the Gentiles seek after? Yes. That's right. The Lord knows. That's the confidence. That's why we say when we get down in prayer and we cry out to Jesus, there's a confidence that should experience. There's a confidence that should overcome you. When one writer there in Romans, go over to Romans 8 and 26. I'm calling out quite a bit of them, but hopefully you all will keep up. Yes. Yes.
We
don't know what we should pray for as we are. That's the truth. Because we're very carnal creatures. We're focused on stuff. We're not focused on the things that we should be focused on. We're not focused on the things that matter. We're not focused on the things that are long lasting because all of this stuff around us, you know, we just pay attention to it. And this stuff is only what? Temporal. Stuff is only temporal. But we pay attention to that temporal stuff. That temporal stuff gets all of our attention. But when you have the Holy Ghost brings your mind It brings your thoughts. It brings your focus back where it belongs at. That's true. Holy Ghost brings your focus and your thoughts back where it belongs at. And it says, Stephen, this stuff is not important. This stuff is only temporary. Just as fast as you get it is as fast as you lose it. Well, what am I going to draw? Draw on things that are long-lasting. Jesus is long-lasting. See, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you come to realize there's a power greater than you. One thing I know, when the Holy Ghost come in, it quickens you. It takes control over your body. You know, you be like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, and the Lord letting you know that there's a greater power than you. There's a greater authority than you. Because no matter what's going on in your body, it's as though Jesus just dominates. He just takes control of it and moves you even when you ain't feeling all that great, when your body's in pain. He moves you and it lets you know he's there and he's real, right? But spirit, what does it say? It's spirit, it helps us. Yes. Yep. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Yes, yes. That's true. What is the mind of the Spirit? That's true. That's right. That's right. That's right. Keep going. See, that's the part that you want to get to in your prayer life. That's the part that you want to get to when that's the benefit of having the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you. There's a confidence that is achieved. You come to know something. When out the Holy Ghost, you don't know it. You know, you only based upon what somebody else say. Folk draw off of other people's testimonies. But when you had the Holy Ghost, you know it. You know what it's like to have Jesus rule you. You know what it's like to have Jesus move on you. And Lord is telling you, after you get down in a good prayer session with Jesus, this should be the result of that prayer. What is the result of that prayer? And we know. All things do what? Work together for good. I may not understand why this stuff is happening. I may not see the end result. But I know because Jesus is in me. The rule of righteousness is in me, right? I don't have that rule of righteousness in me. I don't have that knowledge. I don't have that confidence inside of me. But when the rule of righteousness is in me, after I get up praying with Jesus, I know all things work together for good, right? That's true. For good, right? I'll keep going a little bit further. That's right. That's right. Them that are the called according to what? That's true. Now jump over to chapter number 14. Where you at in 14? We in Romans? Romans, I want the one where it says righteousness and peace and joy. 14:17. Go a little bit further up above that. Start up around about 11. Yes. Every knee shall bow to me. Uh-huh. That's you being submissive. See, everybody don't want to be submissive to the will of Jesus. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost until you learn to be submissive. There will be a day and time where you're going to submit. Now, and you don't want to submit when you get down to hell. You don't want that because that's no salvation down in hell. But everybody is going to submit to Jesus' authority. One thing I learned, that rich man, when he got into hell, he submitted to Jesus' authority. He didn't want to be there, but he was there against his own choosing. If it was up to him, he wouldn't be there. That lets you know that everybody got to submit to the Lord's will. When the rich man got down in hell, he was out of control, right? He said, my soul is being tormented in this flame, right? He said, can you send someone to help me? And the writer said, no, I can't send nobody help you. There's a great gulf fix. Even if I have loved ones over there that I want to help, I cannot help them, right? He said, but you remember during your lifetime, you made the choice. You chose not to have the rule of righteousness rule in your life. But you chose this stuff. the purple, the fine linen, the fair and sumptuously, you chose to go the path of the Gentile, right? What is the path of the Gentile? After these things they seek. They seek after these things. Lazarus only wanted the crumbs that fell. He had no desire to look like the rich man. He had no desire to feed like the rich man. He just wanted enough to make it by, right? That's the truth. Everybody's going to submit to Jesus' will. One thing is true. As I said, that when he got down in hell, he was out of control. He had to go through the torment. He couldn't even deliver himself. Isn't that something? It's why I don't understand why people don't run to this salvation. They don't run and get themselves saved. They don't run and get born again like Jesus said. And again, and even when they say they're saved, it don't. Something is not adding up. Where is the rule of righteousness in your life? Where is that desire to do what is right? Huh? I hear so much of you. I hear so much of what you want. But where is the rule of righteousness? Where are you saying, nevertheless, let your will be done, Jesus? Not my will, but let your will be done. Be done where? In my life. That's true. So carnal. So worldly focused. Come on. But the Lord say every knee.
Every knee shall bow.
That's right.
That before me, every tongue shall confess to God.
Yes.
One of us shall give an account.
We know that. Don't you know that? I know it. This is why you need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost puts that understanding in your brain. That I got to be careful about how I live. Right? You ain't got no Holy Ghost. You don't think like that. You think about doing things the way you want to do it. You say what you want to say. You don't even have restraint over your tongue. When you don't have the Holy Ghost, you have no restraint over your tongue. You let stuff come out your mouth without even thinking. When the Lord said, every word that you speak, I'm going to bring those words into judgment with me, right? That's the truth. Every crooked, every foul speech, every curse word. Huh? That's the truth. You got to be careful about what you say out your mouth. Well, that's why I know when you had the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost lets you know that you got to be careful about what you say. Right? That's true. That's why you think the Lord come in and manifest himself in that tongue. That tongue is a member of the body no man can tame. Right? It's a world of iniquity. All it does is want to cause confusion. Huh? Great wars. It's come from that tongue. Right? In other words, great conflict. People don't know what to say. Huh? They don't know how to be at peace. Huh? They don't know how to be at peace, but they just want to cause conflict. And they don't even realize they're doing it. But it be all with that tongue. Huh? And then once they see that it's gone, and then they want to try to run and put the fire, but the damage is done. The damage is done. The manifestation is you don't have what you thought you had. Because if you had the Holy Ghost should have brought some control, some restraint over that tongue. But because you don't think before you speak, huh? Come on. Because you don't think before you speak. You just let everything come out. Let everything come out. And then you want to say sorry. After. No. Yeah, you are sorry. You're no good. You need the Lord to help you. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You need righteousness to rule inside of you. To give you some restraint over your tongue. Right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Come on. Every knee shall bow unto me.
Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account.
Aren't you, don't you have that in your mind, saints? I got that in my mind. I'm mindful about what I say. I'm mindful about my behavior. Why? Because I know I'm going to have to stand before Jesus. And I'm going to have to give an answer for everything that I've done in this body. Huh? Come on, saints. Lord going to bring it all before him. One writer done told you it's like your sin going to be sealed up in the bag. Lord going to bring all of that stuff before him, right? You say, oh, that's because I done went down in the water in the name of Jesus. I done got all of my sin washed away. I done received the Holy Ghost years ago. But where are you now? Where are you now in your salvation? Huh? I'm struggling in my faith. Huh? Come on. But don't you know that that's what it's going to take in order for you to see Jesus? You're going to need some faith in order for you to see Jesus. You can't have no struggling faith. You're going to need some faith in order for you to be translated. Huh? Come on, Enoch had the testimony that he pleased Jesus. In other words, he had some faith. He moved in faith, right? And that's true about Enoch. What about you and I? We're going to have to move in faith in order for us to be translated from out of this body into a glorified body. In order for us to participate in the rapture, we're going to need some faith. If you don't have no faith, you're not going to be changed. You're going to stay right here on the earth and go through the tribulation, right? That's the truth. But you got to have some faith. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to let the Lord, you got to let faith move you, right? Move you to be compassionate, right? Move you to act it out. You know, your brothers and sisters are cold. Faith say, give them a coat, right? Faith, right? Your brothers and sisters are down. Faith say, hug them. So let them know everything is going to be all right. That's your faith, right? Faith moves you to do these things. Huh? That's why I can only conclude people don't have the Holy Ghost because they don't have no faith. And that makes sense for the time that we're living in. This is not a time that built up faith. The devil wants you to believe in everything that you see. Huh? But faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? That's the truth. The world that we live in don't want you to have no faith. When you're using it all the time. You're using faith all the time. Using faith, as I said, to sit in that chair. You're using faith to walk on that ground. You're using faith to get in that car. Right? You used faith this morning when you drove in here. You just assumed your brakes were going to work. You don't even know how them brake systems work. You wouldn't even know it if you saw it. Huh? You wouldn't even know if something was wrong if you saw it. But you just get in there and you push. Huh? You push the gas pedal as fast as you can. And then you assume that them brakes are going to work. You're acting out in faith. You can't see the brake. Huh? Come on, is that true? Faith is the substance of things what? You're hoping for that car to slow down. See, but you use faith for this natural stuff. But what about your soul? What about your soul? When I'm telling you to call Jesus in faith, when I'm telling you to open up your mouth and call Jesus in faith, right? Call him in faith. And you bring that stuff before the Lord. Jesus, I don't know. How are you going to work this stuff out? You got children that's not saved? You need to call Jesus in faith. Huh? Let the Lord touch their minds. Touch their minds and help them to have a reality check. Some things are out of your control. You can't make them see stuff the way you. So the only one that can do it is Jesus. I had to cry out to the Lord Jesus, touch my children's minds. Help them not to get swallowed up in the ways of the Gentiles. Why? Because the Gentile seeks after this stuff. Huh? The Gentile spends their days seeking after this stuff. When the Lord know you have need of it, right? They want the Lord to touch my baby's mind. I want to see him pray. I want to see when things are getting difficult in their life. They turn to Jesus and pray. Huh? Stuff don't go right in their minds and in their life. I want to see them pray. I want to see them say, I just pray. Jesus will just bless. Just pray. I pray when they're out there walking the streets and driving. I pray that they're asking the Lord to let his blood cover them. I know I am. I'm asking the Lord to do it, but I'm trying to help them to see. You've got to have your own faith. Huh? You've got to have your own faith. Don't you realize when you had these cell phones and television and all this stuff is trying to rob you of something. It's trying to steal your mind from faith. You can't see Jesus without faith. You can't please him without faith. You got to diligently seek Jesus. This world don't help you diligently seek Jesus. Sometimes I think we've done more harm to ourselves than good. When we got ourselves out of an oppressed state, as a people, when people were doing us wrong, we were a people of faith. We prayed our way through it. But now that things have gotten so easy for us, we got our own houses, our own cars, our own money. We have in our mind, we don't need Jesus. We don't need Jesus for nothing. We don't need him until we get sick. Huh? And the doctor say there's nothing else for us to do for you, right? Then we want to turn our face to the wall and cry out to the Lord. But the Lord say, where were you? Where were you at? Where were you at? That's not the kind of faith I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to trust me, right? And faith is that New Testament word. But that Old Testament term, trust. Lord is looking for us to trust him, saints. Trust him how? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Huh? Lean not to what? Don't y'all do you have that? Do you have that battle within yourself? Where your own mind tries to get the best of you? Huh? When your own mind tries to tell you to move down paths you shouldn't move on. Huh? If my own mind tells you to run crazy, like a chicken with the head cut off. But you're supposed to have some common sense. Your mind is supposed to be grounded. You're supposed to know who Jesus is, right? And you're supposed to know who Jesus is. You got the Holy Ghost, you should know who Jesus is. You should be able to draw off of what the Lord have done for you. Right? People try to pull you here and pull you there. You say, oh no, I know what the Lord have done for me. I know how the Lord has moved in my life. Huh? Come on, that's true. Just like I had to have faith, you got to have faith. Right? So when I'm telling you to call Jesus, I'm telling you it works because I did it. I had to cry out to the Lord just like you. And I'm still doing it. I'm still crying out to Jesus. You say, well, I don't see why I got other things I have to be responsible for. You know, the things you all don't even worry about. I have to worry about this stuff. I had to go check doors, check to make sure stuff is not leaking more than it's supposed to, you know, then it's tolerable. Huh? I have to make sure that it's comfortable. You know, but you say, somebody else will do that. Well, that's not your responsibility. That's not on you. That Lord has made me the watchman. Huh? What is the watchman's job? To look over. Right? Look over. That's why when you hear me come in here and say, you hear me come in while you pray and say, open up your mouth and call Jesus. That means the watchman is looking at you. Huh? Watchman is looking at you. The watchman is hearing. Someone's mouth is not open. Somebody's mouth is not open calling on that name. Huh? And we all need to be on one accord. Huh? If you want the Holy Ghost to come, you all need to be on one accord. If we want the refilling, if we want the restoration, we all need to be on one accord. Huh? We need to get out of ourselves. Huh? Yeah, that's right. You need to get out of yourself. You need to deny self that the Lord may come in. What does that look like? You got to bow your will down. Right? Is that what the scripture told you? Unto me, every knee shall do what bad. You got to bow your will down to Jesus. Right? You got to bow your will down to Jesus. Keep going a little bit further than that, Romans.
Verse 13. It says, let us not therefore judge one another.
Yes. Yes.
That no man put a stumbling block.
That's right. Well, now that's the truth. When you're not calling Jesus, you're making the saints distracted. Uh-oh. Huh? When I'm telling you to call Jesus and you're not doing it, the saints are thinking about what's wrong with you. What's wrong with this part of the body? Huh? You say you want to be a part of the body. Everybody should be doing the same thing. Hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. Ear can't say to the eye, I can't have no need of you. Everybody's got to go according to the head. The head of the body is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus telling you to open up your mouth and call his name, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. That's true. We don't want to be a stumbling block to our brothers and our sisters. Huh? Come on, that's truth. You say, well, it's good. I ain't no stumbling block. You are. You may not think you are, but you are. You're not doing what everybody else is doing. You got your own teaching. You got your own way of doing things. And it's not like Jesus. Huh? All of you. When you came in here, you had to conform. Huh? You say, well, it's because I've been doing it this way all of my life, but you had to conform. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. You may have come from one persuasion. You was a Baptist or whatever, and the Baptist church do this. And you say, oh, no, we don't do that over here. You can't come over here and try to bring your Baptist ways. Huh? You say, well, I like the way the Baptist church do it. And then you need to stay over there in the Baptist church. We didn't come pull you over here. Huh? We didn't come pull you over here. You say you want to be a part of it. You got to go along with it. I have to conform. Right? Come on, saints. You got to go along with whatever the Lord say do, right? That's the truth. One thing I've learned, that when Peter and them got out them boats, they had to stop doing what Jesus said. They couldn't bring their fishermen ways in with Jesus, right? Jesus told them, this is a specific way I want you to do my church. And you got to do it this specific way, right? Peter thought he was going to fight his way into it. Cut that man's ear off. The Lord said, this is not me. This is not my ways. Lord had to heal that brother. Even when he was about to be carried into judgment, the Lord had to stop and heal that brother's ear. Why? Because his disciples got off, right? His disciples lost focus, right? He said, the kingdom of God, it does suffer violence. These folk will be violent toward us. But the violent are the one to take it by force. It is the Lord's good pleasure to give it to you. All you got to do is ask for it, right? We don't proceed with violence. Huh? They be violent with us. We just stop and we ask the Lord, be merciful. Be merciful. Do like the Lord do. They don't know what they're doing, Jesus. They don't know how. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand who they're fighting up against. Huh? They're fighting a losing battle. When you fight against Jesus, you're fighting a losing battle. You ain't going to win. You're going to lose. Huh? You're going to lose. You just got to submit yourself, right? Come on, keep me moving. Keep me moving.
Verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself.
See, you just don't come and do your dirt by itself. Something done crawled up in you. Huh? You just don't do your sinful, wrong stuff in and by itself. Something is inside of you. Why do you think we're talking about you need the Holy Ghost? You need to be born again. There's no way in the world you can say you're born again and you're still doing wickedness. Huh? One told, right and untold you, the wicked are the ones that are estranged from the womb. When you got the Holy Ghost, the Lord should have given you control over that wicked nature. Right? Read that verse again.
And it says, for I know.
Yeah.
And am persuaded by the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus, that there is nothing unclean.
Of it, something's inside of you. Something done got inside of you that's not like Jesus. And you ought to call it for what it is. You can say all day long you want to be saved. You ought to be acting like it. You ought to be changing your behavior. Why do you think that first word in the plan of salvation is repent? Repent means to change your mind. Change your ways. Nowhere in the Lord, way the Lord can do the rest of the plan with you until you change your mind, right? Man got to be willing to forsake his ways. Huh? Ungodly man got to forsake his thoughts. And he's got to return back to Jesus. Huh? Seek the Lord, right? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked do what? Forsake his ways. The wicked got to do that. You can't try to see how much wickedness you can bring over here in righteousness. It doesn't work. Lord say, I don't want no part of you. I need you to repent. I need you to turn away from that stuff. Huh? That's true. A lot of folks say, I want to be saved. But you got to turn away from that stuff. You got to turn away from that wicked stuff. Huh? And then you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Huh? This is not a baptism competition. We're not trying to see how many people we baptize in a year. I'm trying to get you to first repent. Repent means you need to turn your life around. Repent means you need to stop doing the things you've been doing. Turn from your wicked ways, right? That's true. Turn from your wicked ways and then come to Jesus. And the Lord will have what? Mercy. Our God will do what? Abundant. He'll take you down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the removal of sin, right? You come up out of that water walking in the newness of life, right? Come on. You have no problem getting on your knees, crying out to Jesus. You start seeking the Lord with everything inside of you. Why? Because you want righteousness to come and do what? Rule. Huh? I want righteousness to come and rule inside of you. I'm no longer out there looking. Not looking to see what I can be a part of. Because the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here, lo. It's not at this concert. It's not at that revival. The kingdom of God has got to be in you. Holy Ghost has got to be in you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Holy Ghost has got to be in you.
Yeah.
Read a little bit more.
And it says, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean,
yes.
To him it is unclean.
Yes.
But if thy brother is grieved with thy meat,
yes.
And thou walkest thou not charitably,
yes.
Destroy not him with thy meat,
yes.
For whom Christ died.
That's love, isn't it? Uh-huh. Isn't that love? I don't want to do nothing that's going to offend you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, if my brothers and my sisters don't like my perfume, or they say, Elder Scudder, your cologne is distracting. I guess I have to stop wearing that cologne, right? Because the last thing I want to do is be a distraction, not in the household of faith, right? I don't want to be a stumbling block. Huh? Come on. Is that the truth? That's the truth. You don't want to be a stumbling block to your brothers and your sisters. I don't want to say anything out of pocket, right? So you say, well, Scudder, I don't like it when you call me Pee-wee. Well, everybody else is calling you Pee-wee, but I don't like it when y'all call me Pee-wee. You know, and my family been doing it all of my life, and there ain't nothing I could do about that. But I ain't want y'all to come into the church and call me. But we ain't going to call you Pee-wee. We'll call you by your name, right? Because I don't want to be a stumbling block, right? I don't want to do anything to be offensive to your faith, right? I need you to concentrate on Jesus, right? That's the truth. Read a little bit more.
And destroy not him with any means for whom Christ died.
Yes.
Not your good. The evil spoken of.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Keep going.
The kingdom of God is not.
This is what I want. Mm-hmm. Kingdom of God is what?
Not meat and drink, but righteousness.
What is it? It's righteousness.
And joy.
Peace. And joy. Where? Now, where does the Holy Ghost need to be at? It need to be in me. Huh? It need to be in me. And I need to seek him first, right? Is that what 6 and 33 said? Seek ye first the what? That's right. Come on. Now I'm going to close out. Go over to John chapter number 7. Start at verse number 37. Start at 32. Start at 32. Yes. I'm going to close up my book so I can help y'all out. I don't want to go no further.
And the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning.
That's why you got to be careful, saints. You got to be careful sharing your issues with sinners. Because the sinners are going to take what you're saying and they're going to run with it. Huh? Y'all understand that? You know, when you have problems, you got to be careful not to share your problems with sinners. Because sinners don't have no, they don't have no Jesus. All they can do is help your carnal thinking, your carnal ways. And you don't want to be carnal. Why? To be carnally minded is death. You don't want to die. You didn't come into the church for you to die. I came for me to live. That don't mean I'm not going to have issues. But I don't want to share my issues with sinners. Why? Because they're not going to help me get out of my issues, right? That's the truth. But one thing about them Pharisees, one thing about them sinners, they feed off of you murmuring. Huh? Everybody understand that? They feed off of you murmuring.
You.
When you should be seeking Jesus, right? They're just looking for the people to do what? Murmur, right? Because they say, if I can just work with you complaining just a little bit, right? I can get you where I need you to be at, right? Keep going a little bit further.
Heard that the people murmur such things concerning him.
Yes.
And the Pharisees and the chief priests and officers to take him.
Yep.
To them yet a little while.
You ain't got to be worrying about getting rid of me. Isn't that the truth? You don't have to worry about getting rid of the church. Church is going to be gone soon. Y'all understand that? Righteousness is going to be gone soon. Church is going to be lifted up off this earth. The world, you don't have to worry about the world hating you much longer. Why? Because the church is getting out of here. Y'all realize there's a day and an hour coming when the Lord is going to rapture his bride? Huh? They can hate everything we stand for. Y'all understand this? The devil fights us. Y'all know, I feel it. I feel it. The devil fights us. He can't stand what we stand for. And he just wants to get rid of us. Want to get rid of his church. But the Lord said, don't worry. Just a little while, I'm not going to be here no more. Huh? Woe to you. Woe to you when righteousness is taken off the earth. Woe to you when there's not a place that is called by the Lord's name in the earth no more. Woe to you when there are no more tarrying services. Huh? When the people are no longer calling on the name of Jesus. Woe to you, right? That's the truth. Woe to you. Woe to you. Huh? Lord said, yet a little while. I'm gonna leave. Huh? And if that's true about the earth, what do you think is true about you? Huh? You don't talk about you don't want the Holy Ghost? Go on with your wicked ways. Lord ain't going to force you to receive him. Huh? That's what I can conclude. When I look at these that are seeking salvation now, they are not understanding who they're dealing with. They're calling Jesus as though Jesus owes them something. You're not doing the Lord no favor by calling on his name. You're calling on him because you need to be saved, right? Huh? That's the truth. You call on him because you need to be saved. You call on him because you want to be free from sin. Huh? But you're not doing the Lord no favor. Whether you receive him or not, you're not doing him no favor. Now, one thing I've learned, Jesus is going to be God with you or without you. Huh? He is going to be God with you or without. He still is on the throne with you or without. Whether you praise him or not, he still is getting holy, holy, holy. Y'all understand that? He still is getting praise all day long. When we hold our peace, when we find other things to do, Lord is still getting praise. Huh? Come on, is that the truth? When you find something else more important to do, the Lord is still getting praise. You say, well, why is the Lord keeping me here? Because he's giving you, Jezebel, space and time to repent. Huh? I ain't no Jezebel. You're acting like her. You're being rebellious just like her, right? You refuse to comply. You refuse to be in agreement with what the way Jesus said for it to be done. Huh? You refuse to let your soul say amen. Huh? Just don't say amen to any and everything. But when it comes down to the Lord's will, say amen. When it comes down to the Lord saying something, you've got to say amen, Jesus. Whatever you say, Jesus, amen, Lord Jesus. That's true. Come on. Keep going a little bit further. Yeah. Yet a little while. Yet a little while. Read that verse. Yet a little while. Yes.
Yet a little while am I with you.
Yep. I'm going to go. Yep. Yep. Who sent you? I sent myself. See, them Trinitarians. See, if Jesus is God, if the Lord said, 3 days, destroy this body, and I'll get it back up again. But the scripture say God raised him up. Don't you know when you see Jesus, you see God? Jesus told Philip, don't you know all this time I've been with you? And you're saying, show us the Father? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Jesus is God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is God.
He is. Yes, he is.
I know God highly exalted him and gave himself a name. Huh? Y'all understand that? God gave himself a name. God is not the name. I didn't get baptized, God. I didn't receive the Holy Ghost, God. But I got baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. I received the Holy Ghost calling Jesus, 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 Jesus until I was endued with power from on high. I'm not ashamed of the name. Huh? Ask yourself, am I ashamed of the name?
Right. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Am I ashamed of the name?
Huh? Thank you, Jesus.
Do I find it more important to say God than I do to say Jesus? When there's no salvation in any other. Do y'all believe that scripture? There's no salvation in any other. Do you need salvation? I need it. I need salvation all the time. I need the Lord to deliver me. I need the Lord to keep me. I need the Lord to heal me. I need the Lord to preserve me. I need the Lord to keep me safe. Safe from who? From myself. From me, right? I know that dwelleth in me is a no good thing. And the only one that can deliver me from me is Jesus. That's the truth. Come on. Yet a little while. Yes. You're going to seek me. Come on. Didn't I tell you all this week? You don't want to fall into this category, do you? You don't want to fall into the category of seeking Jesus and not being able to find him. Huh? That got to be a horrible thing. You be somewhere crying out, Jesus, 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 and you feel nothing. Huh? Come on, that means you can't find him. What good is me to call on Jesus for hours and feel nothing? Huh? Come on. That means I can't find the Lord. I pray that that ain't the condition for some of us. Huh? I pray we haven't gotten so weak in our faith that we call on his name and we feel nothing. Huh? Come on. That's a bad state to be in. And it's not something that I call. I didn't put that on you. The Lord said, you're going to do this to yourself. You're going to rise up to seek me. One writer said, you're going to rise to seek me early. And you're not going to find me, right? Jesus himself is saying it right here. You're going to seek me and you're not going to find me, right? Keep going.
And it says, where I am, thither ye cannot come.
Yes.
Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will
he go? Where in the world is he going that we can't find him? What is this he's talking about?
He shall seek me.
And finally, what in the world are you talking about, Jesus? And where you going, I can't go. Huh? Keep going. In the last day, in that great day of the feast, he stood and he did what? He didn't say it. Y'all understand this? I want you to take note. Lord said this thing with passion. Do y'all understand this? He's about to make a declaration with some passion. He didn't just say it. He cried. Huh? He cried when all the people were gathered together, feasting and partying. Doing what the Gentiles do. There was still a voice in the midst of the party crying, right? Just like John the Baptist in the wilderness. Crying, right? Keep going. If any man thirsts. Is that us? Is that us? You got to recognize that you're thirsty. You got to recognize that only Jesus can satisfy your need. Huh? You want the Holy Ghost? You got to recognize Jesus is the only one that can satisfy my need. Huh? Not my education, not my bank account, not my job, not my relationships. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy my need. Huh? Come on. Is that the truth? I didn't forget what we went over. Remember all of these things the Gentiles seek after. But the Lord know you have need of these things. Huh? You need to learn just to go before Jesus and let him supply you with all of your needs according to his righteousness, right? Keep going a little further. If any man thirsts. Yes? You done lost it. It's chapter number 7. Let him come to Jesus.
That believeth on me, as the scripture hath said,
yes.
Out of his belly shall flow
living water. Yes.
But he spake of
the what?
Spirit.
Huh?
Which they that believe on him should be.
So didn't I tell you all you can't get the Holy Ghost without no faith? Right. You got to believe Jesus. Right. You say, oh, Scott, I've been tarrying for so long. But where is your faith? Where is your faith? Stop doing a bunch of bodily exercise. A bodily movement. Where is your faith? Are you believing Jesus? You are you trusting him? You think you're going to fool somebody because you got good bodily exercise? Lord said, I can't be fooled. Y'all know that in Jeremiah. Lord told you your heart is desperately wicked. Is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins. Huh? So you can call Jesus all you want, but where's your heart at? Where's your mind at when you're calling him? What do you believe in Jesus is able to do? What are you believing that Jesus is able to do? Say, well, I believe he can do some stuff. Well, Lord said, that's not the kind of God I am. I'm not a some kind of God. You need to recognize all power. Not some, all power. Right? We got to be a people of faith, saints. Is that who we are? We are a people of faith. So people say, well, I don't know whether the Lord is going to touch your body. I don't. I'm not no miracle worker. I don't have no healing in my palms. But I do know that the Lord made you. He can heal you. If anybody can touch you, Jesus made your body. Huh? Anybody can fix it. Jesus can fix it. Now, whether he do it or not, that's on him. Huh? That's what makes him God. He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. He's not a genie in the bottle. You just don't rub his belly and make your request known. Huh? And then he automatically does what you want. Huh? That means that you're the one in control. You got to go before him and say, Jesus, Master, my Savior, I know you can. I know you can. I know you've got the power to do it, Jesus. If you would be so gracious and merciful, please, Jesus, right? Are you too big to say, please, Jesus? Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. And then get up from your knee. Lord, if you don't even do it, I still know you can. You don't even do it. I still know you can. I had many people die. And people say, well, you pray for them. I pray for them. Pray the Lord to touch their bodies. But if the Lord don't do it, nothing I can do about it. I know the Lord is true to his word. When he say, I've appointed your bounds and you cannot pass. The only thing I can do is warn you. Huh? I pray for you, Lord, touch your body, but I'm also going to give you warning. Right. This is your day and your hour. You better be ready. Right. Huh? You better be ready, because once you cross over, there are no do-overs. Right. There are no coming back. Huh? Right. Come on. Hell is full of people. Yes, full of people that thought that they were in a right relationship with Jesus. And the Lord looked at them and said, I never knew you. Huh? Isn't that something? That's not who we want to be. We better have some confidence. You better get down on your knees and you better call Jesus. You better call Jesus until he takes control. Till you know, oh, that's Jesus doing this. Not me, huh? It's not me, it's Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. Touch out, got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus.